Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the David Mead Podcast. On today's episode, we have a special guest here with me, Dave Donaghy. He's a former CEO at the Melbourne Storm for over 5 years, and he arrived this year at the Brisbane Broncos. Now, I've got to know Dave a little bit this year, and I'm excited to pick his brains a bit, see what he knows and see what I can learn from him. So, Dave, thanks for being on the show, mate.
Thanks for having me on, matey.
Your role as CEO at the Brisbane Broncos now, how are you finding it this year?
It's been terrific. It's obviously each club has their own nuances and their own, there's wonderful parts of every role and parts that you need to focus on and really work hard on. A lot of that comes down to where the club is at in their iteration. But having started here May 1, it's been terrific. It's been a challenging year, no doubt. Personally, from a job challenge perspective, it's been really enjoyable and has probably provided me with that opportunity and that challenge that I was searching for.
And when you say there's certain things you need to focus on, are there any specific things you can share with us that you're focusing on right now?
There are. Look, it's an interesting time, I suppose, for the footy club. It's a wonderful footy club. It's an incredibly proud, rich history. You know, we've been around for 33 years, 34 seasons, and have had a lot of success historically. Some wonderful players. I've had some challenges the last few years, but still have a really strong, incredibly strong business. So for us, it's about, all right, how do we set a path, set a strategy, set a vision for the next, say, decade? And when you line up that time frame, you sort of look ahead, 2032, we've got the Olympics coming down the pipe in Brisbane. And there's a golden decade for ahead of Brisbane. It's an incredibly exciting time to be here and be leading what is the premier franchise in sport in Brisbane and arguably the country, and beyond that, who knows? So that's a real key focus at the moment, Meaty, is setting the vision, the plan, the strategy, and then communicating that through, articulating that. And we've got to set some big lofty goals. And but to do that, you need to do the work as well. You've got to be well resourced. You've got to have plans in place for different departments. And really, it's going to be a growth agenda for us that we set. And then it's up to us to go and execute it and go and chase it. And that's in line with where we think the football program's heading to. And, you know, we saw the improvement back half of last year. I think we've recruited quite well. You're coming back, which is terrific. And it's there's a great, I think, not just a great group of athletes, but and footballers, but a terrific group of young men.
And when you say vision for the club, what particular questions are you guys asking yourselves when you're trying to set the vision?
Oh, certainly there's a we've tried to engage everyone. Well, we have engaged everyone around where they see the football club now, what's working. So what do you need to stop doing? What do you need to start doing? What do you need to do better? Or keep doing. Everyone will have an opinion. Everyone has been here. Well, most people have been here for longer than I have. So, you know, if I'm not listening to their experiences in the past, what they've tried to do, what's worked, what hasn't worked, has it been a case of just things haven't worked for a certain reason, or is it just purely on the basis of the timing wasn't right? So, you know, we want to take that input, plug that into the management's decision making, and then, you know, use that to help set the path moving forward. And as I said, there's going to be some big lofty goals. When you look, if you benchmark us against, you can only review that you can only really benchmark yourself on field against those you play against. So, you know, if we have a look at historically the top teams from the last decade, Melbourne, Roosters, both won 3 premierships. They've been the benchmark, and deservedly so. But off field, I think there's you can draw broader comparisons to other sports in Australia, overseas. You look at what the All Blacks do, for example, in New Zealand, an incredibly inspiring, inspirational organisation that connect and unite that country. And then you look further afield around organisations that have had sustainable success and been able to grow off the back of that. So, you know, Patriots, even Crusaders in rugby, San Antonio Spurs in basketball for a long time, and they build their business off the back of that. We're in a real fortunate position in Brisbane, where in terms of Brisbane CBD, we're a one team town. So, you know, there's many great opportunities ahead of us to connect with Brisbane, or to reconnect with Brisbane, to build that affinity with our base, to have them understand our story and where we're heading, to get on board and provide them with awesome experiences. I say to our team every day that, you know, every day you get to do something really cool, and that's, you know, do it, but then tell people you do it and get more people along to do it. It is really exciting and really a real vibrant workplace.
How would you define the role of a CEO? Is it different for different companies, or is it similar? How would you define your role as a CEO?
Well, I suppose I'm still learning myself, Meaty. I was 32 when I was first appointed CEO at Melbourne Storm, so I was probably too young at that point, but was in the fortunate position where I had some great people who backed me in, and I'll be forever grateful for that and to them. And then, you know, an opportunity to take over at Brisbane after, you know, Paul White's done a terrific job over a long period of time. You're always learning. I think the important thing around being a CEO is setting a course, communicating, and particularly during this COVID period, over communicating. You can't communicate enough during this period. There's a lot of uncertainty, and that's certainly what people want certainty, and sometimes in this period you can't provide that. So to be able to communicate and empathize with what people are going through has been really important, I think, or important traits for leaders through this period. But, you know, fortunate here at the Broncos, where we've got some wonderful people around me, the management team, quite a few of them have been there for some period of time now and have a lot of corporate knowledge and corporate IP. I think that in sport, it's interesting, having been asked this a little bit of late, but I think the role of CEO in sport can be often to remove distractions. You know, you've got every week the playing group and the team is judged by what happens on the field, and certainly a lot of that, how you approach the game or approach the week, is in your control. The outcome on the field, well, often that can come down to a bounce of the ball.
Yep.
But for a CEO, you don't have control at all in that 80 minutes. So to have the confidence in those people that are shaping the program and doing the work and putting the effort in, is important, but so too is how you can help support that away from the program, which often is removing distractions and identifying distractions before they become big issues, which can, at different points in sport, can enable people to take their eye off the ball.
Did you always want to be one as a kid, CEO?
No.
Did you plan to be one?
No, not at all.
What do you want to become?
I wanted to do what you did.
Yeah.
You know, you've got the best job in the world, Meaty.
Yeah. It's good. I certainly enjoy it. How did you end up becoming a CEO? Did you have goals for it when you started working in the corporate world?
Well, I finished school, so I went to school in Gladstone, Central Queensland, and like most kids, and if you know, I'm sure you've got a young audience that are watching, and if I can just share some advice, is that, you know, it's okay not to know what you want to do when you're 17, 18. Like you've got a long time ahead of you working, so it's okay to go on your own personal life journey to discover what that is, whatever that may be, and however long it takes you. So I left school not knowing what I wanted to do. I actually tried to get into criminology at university. I didn't have the grades to do that, but I came down and played a bit of footy at Brisbane East. And while I was doing that, I went to UQ, started in arts, ended up doing politics and journalism. Did that for 4 years, finished, worked as a journo while I was at uni, finished uni, did that for a little bit. Worked for a company called Australian Associated Press and then News Limited. And then when I was in Melbourne working for News Limited, I got to know Craig Bellamy and Frank Panisi and a few of the others at Melbourne Storm, and they had a couple of issues at the end of 08 and asked if I'd be interested in coming in, and felt I could give them a hand with some of the challenges that they had. So that was my first entry point, I suppose, into sport. And football clubs at that point were a lot smaller, meaty. So there was a lot of us that were doing two jobs. So mine was, I think it was media and or football administration and media manager. So I was Frank Panisi's understudy in their football program. And then I was overseeing the media operations at Storm in the late 2000s and did that for a couple of years, and then went into the AFL for 3 years, and then came back into went back down to the Storm actually when new owners came in at the end of 13. So I was an internal appointment then, and look, it was something that I think there's been different experiences in my career in sport that have probably been brought on me at an earlier age than what most people would have. I was at the Storm when they went through the salary cap issue in 2010. So having to deal with the fallout of that and managing the media internal machinations around that was probably something that was before my time. But I think at times when you get challenged, you can take it with both hands or you can shy away from it. And, I certainly wanted to grab that opportunity with both hands and probably provided me with a little bit more wisdom before or before my years.
Yeah. What position did you play at East?
Whatever the coach wanted me to.
Anywhere.
When I was a kid, I'd try to play in the centres, yep. But I'd be shuffled around to fullback, wing, 5'8" at times. I liked speed. I thought I did media. I did have a little bit of speed when I was a kid, but I kept on pinging hamstrings.
Yeah.
So the physio's probably wasn't the physio's fault. I just didn't follow the instructions.
Yeah.
So important of rehab, right? Yeah, recovery.
Oh, mate, it's very important, especially if you can run fast.
Well, and when you get a bit older, right? Like you want to get the most out of your body, yeah?
Yeah, for sure. Listening to the physio is probably number one rule, so I try to do that anyway. I want to talk a little bit about procrastinating and productivity. I think I'm a master of procrastinating. I want to become an amateur. Is there anything you do on a day-to-day basis that avoids procrastinating?
The thing, particularly in these jobs, is that when you get to a period of whether it's high pressure or stress, again, you want to remove distractions on a personal level. I think that's probably the key to removing procrastination, because it's so easy to be distracted. Whether you check your phone for social media and then all of a sudden you're on your phone for 15 minutes scrolling through websites because you want a dopamine hit and you want to see if you got a message or a like or whatever it is. Like that's for people of any ages these days. So I think that's a big distraction and being disciplined around it. So, if you know that's an issue, being aware of it, being conscious of it, put your phone somewhere else. Try to install in meetings to put our phones in a box so you can't actually look at it, and you've got to be in the moment and contribute is important. But look, I think everyone will have their own little methods, but for me it's always been about removing distractions. So whether it's putting your phone away and just focusing on the task at hand, whether it's blocking off periods of time in your diary and being planned and prepared for that, or whether it's other things around, it might be abstaining from alcohol for a period of time just to ensure that you've got real clarity and focus. They're all little tricks that I think can, for me, I've found helpful over the years.
Yeah. And when you say putting the phones in a box in a meeting, is that's a general rule?
Yeah, well, we've brought it into our management meeting that there's a little box. I just went out and bought one and put it on the desk, and if anyone wanted to join me, it wasn't a requirement, but it's been good to see that certainly management team have been doing that, and really focusing and being in the moment. Because I think, again, back to being distracted, it's very hard to be in the moment. You've got so many things going on. The brain's computing so much these days compared to what parents would have.
Yeah.
And it's easy. You can be easily distracted. So, ensuring that whatever you can do to ensuring you're in the moment is really important. And I think that's, I know I'm not the greatest at this, so I'll put my hand up here, but it's not just for at work, but it's at home too, right? Yeah. So when you're hanging out with your kids, you can quickly be distracted or easily, but all your kids want is just time with dad. And, I often have to remind myself or others remind me of that to put the phone away and or the computer away and just spend that time that you've got, because they'll grow up pretty quick.
Yeah. You mentioned focus before. Obviously removing distractions is key in being focused, but is there any little tricks that you use to help you get focused besides removing once you've got the job in front of you? Is there a particular way you approach the job? Are there any like questions that you ask yourself, or is there any self-talk happening?
No, not for me. I'll find I have to put myself in a certain energy position, I suppose, around tasks, or whether it's meetings and being in the moment, but having the right energy. Things like this, like it's not my natural position to talk about myself or to from a public speaking point of view. It's part of the job, but it's not something that I'm particularly it doesn't come natural to me.
Yeah.
So I've had to work on that quite a bit, get in the right headspace prior to the point. And there's a few little tricks that probably from my media days learned around whether it's breathing or whether it's actually smiling before you go into something, so you've got the right energy or the right expressions or tones to articulate a point. Because I think when people talk about CEOs, they see they think someone who's quite serious and someone who's potentially unrelatable or whatever. For me, it's just I'm just me.
Yeah.
And that's all I want to be.
Yeah.
It's all I can be. But being able to put yourself in the right frame of mind, because you might have come out of a really challenging meeting or a challenging debate or robust discussion or argument or whatever it may have been, but the next person shouldn't have to wear the flak of that. Yeah. So that's important.
Interesting you said about like the CEO. This is my first podcast with a CEO. It's mainly been athletes. I've been able to relate with them a lot. So in preparing for this podcast, I just had all these thoughts going through my head. I had talked to my wife a few times. I'm like, man, I'm so nervous about this. I'm losing sleep. When I contacted you on Wednesday, I was like, all right, the time's confirmed. Oh, actually, babe, we've got to change the meeting rooms, because how can I write this message to Dave so that he doesn't think something else, just the nerves going through about meeting with the CEO. And I'm glad you said that. Like, you're just human, because it makes the
it's a title, right? Like, that's a title that I have, but likewise with you, you're a footballer, right? So people would have a perception of David Mead, the footballer, mm-hmm. And that comes with they've got preconceived biases, or they might be nervous to talk to you potentially, and I imagine. Where you're from, your home country, that's probably magnified, right? There's no other country in the world has rugby league as their national sport.
Yeah, for sure. I go back there and sometimes just like wearing thongs and shorts, no shirt, because they're real sunny and hot. People are like, man, he's walking around with a shirt, shorts and thongs on, got dust all over his feet. But they think they have this preconceived ideas about how you're going to present yourself.
So you take the kid out of PNG, we can't take the PNG out of the kid in the same meeting?
Never, mate, never. The only thing I've got to do is I'm still yet to climb a coconut tree when I go back. I haven't done that since I was a kid. So
just do it after you retire. I don't know if it's covered under insurance.
Yeah. HDF cover. Falls from a coconut tree. No. productivity. There's this book I'm reading called Limitless by Jimmy Quick. he talks about this Pomodoro technique where it's like a 25-minute sprint of like just focus, and it makes the time a lot smaller. So you're like, all right, whether it's doing the dishes, laundry, bit of writing, whatever it is, if you're focused for 25 minutes, that can turn into four to 6 hours pretty quickly.
Yep.
Are there any ways that you approach productivity and how you want to be productive day to day?
If I look at what we do here, we have big goals and we're going to have bigger goals. They're outcomes. So in terms of focus and productivity, if you're focusing too much on the outcome, you're going to miss a whole range of pieces back here that are going to help you actually achieve it. So the focus has to be similar to a footballer, similar to your football program. It's no different in business. The focus has to be on each day, each hour, ensure that whatever you're doing is moving the dial and making progress around you getting from where you are to what you want to achieve down the track. Now, it's a hard discipline to have because you can often look too far ahead and jump, you know, three or four steps. But if you're missing key points back here, you're not going to make the necessary progression to achieve your ultimate goals. Incredibly basic or simple, but really important. Something that I often focus more so on media to ensure that each day you're tuned in to take you closer to what your goal is. And for you guys, it's winning premierships. In the consumer program, it's getting to 100,000 members. And commercial sponsorship, it's X amount of revenue. But you can be doing something each and every day to get you closer to that goal.
Yep. And on motivating yourself each and every day, I know goal setting is a way I motivate myself to get up every day and go for it. Is there anything that motivates you waking up every day?
Mate, I love waking up every day. Like, you wake up in the morning. So we got this puppy, right, with this cavoodle. And she bounces in about 5 a.m. and jumps up and tries to lick your face. And then you get up and you get to, not have to, but you get to go and exercise, right? Mm-hmm. Get you in the right frame of mind. And then for me, it's like I get to work in sport.
Yep.
It's and not just in sport and sports entertainment. So get to not just try and help so the footy program get to where it wants to be, but also help put a smile on so many of our members and fans' faces each and every day. And that makes it so easy for me to firstly get out of bed, and then secondly to be motivated. It's something real and something that is omnipresent to help you help you spring into work. I often think what that would be if I wasn't working in sport. What would that look like if I was, if you're in another business, if you're in finance or whatever it may be? But certainly, I think the same thing is there. It's what those goals are. Setting goals and having a path there to get there. I do think you'd still be able to have that that motivation.
And I'd imagine you're a pretty happy person, waking up and you get to do what you do.
Yeah, I'm a positive person. I'm more positive than I'm negative, for sure. Like, I'm half glass half full, than glass half empty. And I do like seeing the best in people. That's again back to be me, and can only be me. I do like to lean in that, despite at times it's a tough industry.
Yep.
The positives outweigh the negatives by so much.
Yep. I know happiness, other people's happiness, not necessarily in our control, but how do you get your staff motivated and happy? How do you do that?
Again, partly out of your control, right? Because you can't control what happens in people's lives, and there's so many. It's not just work, the work side of it, but it's people can bring whatever into the workplace. And often when you're having discussions or you're talking to people, you know, they might be having the worst day ever, and that can impact a whole range of things. I think I like knowing my staff on a personal level, understanding, you know, their family and what makes them tick, whether there's challenges outside of work. But again, back to what we're talking about with goals, providing people with direction, but then also that autonomy to go and achieve those goals. I want staff to make calculated mistakes. Means they're growing. I want them to take risks, calculated risks, because it means they're progressing in their own way, and progressing in a way that might deliver greater returns than what we thought were achievable by taking a calculated risk. So I think that's really important, really powerful for staff to have that autonomy and their own freedom to effectively chase their goal, whether it's their own individual department goals or this collective team goal.
Yep. As we get closer towards the end of the podcast, there's a few fun rapid fire questions I like to just throw out. You can answer them as short as you like, as long as you like. But first one is, what's your favorite meal? Do you have one?
Favorite meal is, you know, I love a good barbie.
Yeah. Do you have any favorite music that you like to listen to?
I do. I like Gang of Views. I've got a bit of an eclectic taste, so I like a bit of probably older school Aussie. When I say older school, it's not that old. It's old for us, you know, like Powderfinger and the like. But
Who are they? No.
But I like that. And then Gang of Views, that style. That's it's just nice to kind of. They've got a bit of everything. Yeah. They can chill you out, or they can really pump you up.
Yeah. If there's an animal that best describes you, what would that animal be?
Labrador.
If there's a big sign you'd put on a billboard, what would it say?
Big sign I could put on a billboard. That's deep, meaty.
It's kind of like an advice in like a couple of words for, you know, just people driving past just to see. I think Benny said he's got it on his office. Ben Eichen said,
"That's be nice,
work hard, and work hard."
Yeah, which is great. I think. Look, I'll draw a parallel to what happened with some of you guys this year around, you know, social media and commentary around that. And I think, yeah, I do think be nice. I think we're not as nice to each other as what we could be. And I think certainly society could benefit from a little bit of that.
And do you have a favorite quote? I'm a big quote person, so I like to ask people this one.
I'm stealing this one, but it's I've said this quite a bit over the last couple of years, but it's favorite quote. I can't remember where I stole it from, but it's people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Nice, I like that one. And finally, last question, Dave. Is there a charity that you personally support that listeners might be able to help out with, or they can help out with?
I think if I can probably draw attention to Carl Webb Foundation, you know, again, we've got so many wonderful past players, but, Carl's done it, he's doing it really tough. He's battling motor neurone disease and it's a crippling, debilitating disease. And, you know, I saw it firsthand down in Melbourne with Neil Danaher. Carl was a hell of a player. And, you know, I think anyone that was a kid probably around our ages, you know, he wasn't much older than me, I think. And, you know, he'd be, I don't know if he'd have 10 years on you, Meaty, but he, that try he scored when he was playing for Queensland.
Yeah.
It was like an 18, 19, 20-year-old, whatever he was. So I don't think too many rugby league people will forget that, especially up here. And So I think if people are looking to make a donation, tax deductible donation on the way through, the Carl Webb Foundation, especially for a disease which they have no cure for, is something that's very important.
Yeah, for sure. I think I played against Carl my first couple of years, but I used to love watching him play. He was just so tough, and loved watching him in Origin especially. But it is sad to see what's happening. But if hopefully people can help out with that charity, we'll put some notes under the YouTube clips to help out there. So, Dave, I want to thank you for your insights around your role as CEO, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to gain and benefit a lot from this podcast. So I just want to thank you for putting some time aside and joining us on the podcast.
Thanks for having me on, matey. Good luck with it all, mate.
Thanks, mate.
If you've enjoyed this episode, then I'd love if you would hit that subscribe button, leave a comment or a review, and share it with anyone you think might enjoy it as well. For more behind-the-scenes content, head to my Instagram at davidmead411 and feel free to slide into my DMs if there's anyone you would love to hear from. I can't wait to bring you another episode next week, and thanks for listening to the David Mead Podcast.